Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Transport Topics in Washington, D.C., this is Road Signs. And now here's your host, Michael Fries.
Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to invite you to subscribe to Transport Topics, where you can receive exclusive access to our top 100 lists, quarterly magazines, and other news surrounding the trucking industry. To subscribe, visit ttn.ws/TT subscribe. Let's picture this. Your trucking company has reached that next level, whatever it may look like. More trucks, more accounts, bigger warehouse. It's safe to say that business as usual growing on a massive scale. However, with a growing business comes growing pains that every owner goes through. As you're scaling up, there are plenty of matters that need outside help. But where to start? There's a plethora of third-party services that assist fleets in their wide array of disciplines, such as accounting, compliance, and risk management, just to name a few. So in this episode, we'll ask the questions, how can third-party services assist growing trucking companies? Where to identify the growing pain points? And how effective can these services be for fleets? To answer those questions, we'll look into risk management and compliance with Michael Prochet, President and CEO of Fleetworthy Solutions, later in the program. But now, we'll discuss the financial and accounting aspects with our first guest, Dan Rutherford, Lead CFO of Logistics and Transportation Industries with Virtual Summit CFO. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate the invite. Looking forward to chatting with you today.
No problem at all. Just before we get into things, just want to let the listeners know Summit CPA Group is a sponsor of Road Signs. But we won't hold that against you, Dan. one of the things I want to get to before we even start, what is a virtual chief financial officer?
It's funny you ask. I get that question a lot, Michael. I go to been at some conventions and stuff like that, and I tell people what I do, and they're like, "What's that?" So a virtual CFO is basically, it's commonly referred as a fractional CFO, part-time CFO. And what we do is we kind of fill the gap where a lot of companies are in what I call no man's land. And they've kind of outgrown a small bookkeeper or a smaller controller, but they're not big enough yet for a full-time CFO, but they need expertise. So that's where Summit CPA comes in, and we fill that gap for companies. And we come in on a part-time basis and provide the expertise at a fraction of the cost.
Okay. One of the things, and you just kind of with third-party assistance, we talk about, the shortage that's going on, be it the driver or be it the technician, where, as in the back office help, it's still in demand. But, as you were saying, there's some of those holes that need to be filled. And some of these, fleets, the bigger fleets that you work with, need that particular assistance. What are some of the things, the most pressing concerns that these fleet owners and managers have in optimizing their financial management? What are they telling you?
Always at the top of the concern for any transportation logistics company or any business for that matter is cash flow management. We can't stress enough the importance of, that's the lifeblood of any business, right? And, you don't have to be a business professional to know that's where many businesses fail is they fail to be properly capitalized. So Summit, we have a process where we help companies actively manage that cash flow management. We meet weekly with our clients to go over and help them manage their cash, forecast their cash. And secondly, financial forecasts. One of our primary focuses at Summit is to create a financial forecast for our clients. A lot of them, they have a plan where they want to go, they have an idea, but they really haven't created a roadmap, you know. And what our founders kind of compare it to is, you know, taking a trip somewhere. You're taking a trip to Florida, and you can just start off and just start randomly driving south, or you can actually look at a map and have a plan to get there. And that's where Summit comes in, and we help a company actually create that financial forecast, financial income statement, balance sheet, and kind of look at the numbers and put them down on paper and analyze them. And then lastly, key performance indicators. I can't stress enough the importance of companies creating and monitoring key performance indicators. If they're doing that effectively and monitoring those on at least a weekly basis, if not daily or even hourly in trucking, then at the end of the month, when they get to create their financial statement, it shouldn't really be a surprise to them. So those are probably the three biggest things where we come in: cash flow management, financial forecasting, and helping companies create KPIs.
You know, that's a great explanation, and it really kind of breaks down things. I kind of want to go to that analogy that you're referring to with the financial forecast, and you said a roadmap, and it's just kind of versus, you know, blindly going to Florida, you know, just go south and, you know, let the road lead you where you may be. And I know probably some of those clients that you may have, you know, probably have that particular attitude. But when you're talking about a roadmap and you're talking about going to that destination, you know, when you're going to that destination, you also need to have, you know, gas in the tank when you're going to that financial, you know, destination.
Exactly.
What in that analogy, when you said roadmap, what in that analogy, what's the gas tank in that? Is that sort of the equipment financing and the leasing agreements and things like that?
Exactly. Number one is cash again. I mean, getting back to, I can't stress enough with the people that I work with is lining up every bit of cash that they can get available. So, you know, getting the gas in the tank, that's a good, I'm going to use that going forward, Michael. I like that. So the gas in the tank, getting that, you know, and not only having it in the tank, knowing where your next stop is, you know, so you're not going to run out. So we coach our clients through getting lines of credit set up, even if they say, well, I don't need one right now. You don't know when the economy is going to slow down or anything is going to happen. You're going to hit a little bump in the road. So the best time to get access to cash is when you don't need it. That's when the banks want to talk with you. So we coach our clients through that and say, let's get your line of credit set up. Even if you don't need them, the costs of setting them up are usually pretty negligible, and the banks are much more willing to talk to you then. The other thing again is the map. I talked to a gentleman the other day, very successful company. And he kind of chuckled. He goes, yeah, we've got a budget around here somewhere. I don't even know where it is. And I think that's probably pretty common for most businesses. They start off, they kind of pencil something down. What we pride ourselves on is the cadence with our clients. We force them. We set up monthly meetings. We're going to meet with you every Wednesday at a certain time that works with them. And we're going to keep them on. We're going to hold them to it. We're going to say, let's go back and look at your forecast and how you're performing. And we're going to adjust it on the fly. You know, things change. You know, they're going to hire people. They're going to buy equipment. We're able to plug those numbers in and do different scenarios with them. So I can't stress that enough. And then the founders, that's what they founded this business on, is, you know, most accountants are looking backward, which is critical. You know, you need historical information. A CFO is going to be looking forward. They're going to take that historical information, which we want, and we want it accurate, but we're going to take that and apply it forward. We're always talking about what's next month, what's next year, what's next quarter to look like. So to use your analogy, the gas in the tank, that's exactly what we need.
And another thing I wanted to stress too, thanks for explaining that. And you're more than free to use that analogy with your clients. And you had mentioned the KPI, the key performance indicators. And working in that regard with your clients, and you had said that they kind of have that aha moment, if I'm interpreting that correctly. Mm-hmm. What are some of the points in those KPIs? Where are some of those intangibles that you see when you're working with your clients to get those aha moments?
Right. It's funny. When I first got in the industry, probably 25 years ago, Michael, I worked with a gentleman, a very successful businessman, and I learned a lot from him. And he you talk about a keep it simple, stupid attitude. That's what he had. And I laugh because his KPIs were literally, he would go over to his accounts receivable drawer, pull it open. If it was full, that was good. He'd walk around his yard. If he had, if all of his trucks were gone, that was good. And he'd look in his big backhaul book, and if it was full, that those were good KPIs for him. And it's almost that simple. And now we've got to an age where we've got dashboards, and we can collect data, you know, such, you know, so much more quickly and accurately. But having KPIs such as, you know, revenue per mile, revenue per truck, you know, if you've got a logistics operation, revenue per broker. One of the things when I actually ran a logistics operation for about 3.5 years, we monitored our losses on loads, not so much from the standpoint of, you know, are we doing bad? If we weren't taking enough losses, that kind of meant, you know, we weren't taking enough risk, kind of like a quarterback in football. You know, if you got a high percentage completion, well, maybe you're just throwing all your little short passes. You know, you can complete
check them.
You're
down.
Not going downfield. Yeah, exactly. You're just little check down passes. Every now and then you got to go long, right? So anyway, having those KPIs and having them and monitoring them, I should just sit and watch them all day long. And at the end of the month, I had no surprises how we had done. So we can't stress enough at Summit having those, monitoring them throughout the week, and even at the end of the month, looking at how you did.
I'm sure having a logistics background and being in the business for as long as you have been gives you that advantage when you're speaking to potential clients about their financial situation, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was a CFO at one company, and actually I kind of was a virtual CFO and didn't know it. I worked for two companies, and I didn't know that was even the title. I just thought I was working hard was what I was doing. So, so I worked for two different companies as a CFO for, I don't know, at least 15 years, 18 years. And then I moved over to run the logistics division, a large logistics division for one of them, and had a lot of fun doing it. And I was able to apply my financial background to running that operation and create, it's kind of fun to create KPIs and stuff that I knew would feed into a strong financial statement, strong income statement, strong balance sheet. So we created a lot of KPIs that we knew at the end of the month, if we were hitting those, you know, I barely had to even look at the financial statement. I could tell them how we did just based off our KPIs. So absolutely having an operation background in addition to the financial background is a big strength, I think, when I'm talking to business owners.
That's good to hear. You know, let's change gears for a moment. You know, we're sure. Talking about cash flow issues, you know, but mm-hmm. there's also the risk management aspect of it, you know, and that
absolutely.
And when things, when it comes to insurance and when it comes to risk, you know, there's definitely a lot of money managing involved with mm-hmm. that, you know, and especially with an industry that, you know, you're hearing about nuclear verdicts, and
exactly.
There's always regulatory compliance concerns going on. How, you know, what is your approach to that, and how do you help fleets in that regard?
Yeah, it's perfect timing. I actually had a conversation with a client this morning about that exact same thing, and you know, the word, he used the word nuclear verdict, you know, which has been rampant the last few years, rightly so, and you know, obviously, number one, talk to your attorney. That's always our number one advice, especially in the transportation industry. But, you know, we're usually, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with attorneys over the years in this area. So we were usually pretty well aligned on our strategies. And number one strategy in the transportation business is keep your assets out of your operating entity. Keep your, especially your cash. And that was a conversation I had with a gentleman this morning. Is I felt like he was a little too cash flush. And I said, let's move some of that cash out of your company and not expose it. There's no reason to, as long as you're not creating any income tax, you know, ramification, get that cash out of the company. So if something bad does happen, you're not exposing, you know, that cash to a potential lawsuit. I always recommend, and it may be Dan's personal preference, but I was always a big fan of high deductibles on insurance. just like your car insurance for your family. When you're paying a low deductible, you're paying a high premium. And one of the reasons I recommend a high deductible is I think it's important for the owner of the company to see when those claims come through and have to write a check for them, because they're a lot more likely to react to the cause of that. Instead of just saying, turn it over to insurance and let them write the check and pay the higher premium, I think it's a better management style, if you can afford it, if you've got the wherewithal, to maintain a high deductible on your insurance, so that you're not paying that you're paying the claims out of your pocket and keeping your premiums down. And then the last thing is keep separate entities. Again, consult an attorney, but we always highly recommend a structure of keeping your assets out of your operating entity. Have a leasing company set up for your equipment and lease it back to your operating entity, as well as your real estate. So any assets you can keep out of the operating entity, I think any attorney, I'm not an attorney, but I think most attorneys I've spoken to have always recommended that strategy. So keep cash out, high deductibles on your policies, and maintain a equipment leasing and real estate leasing company so your hard assets are out of the operating entity.
Okay. Risk management is such a puzzle for fleet managers.
Exactly.
And having, that guidance is, I'm pretty sure, is worth its weight in mm-hmm. gold, Dan. You know, one of the things before I get you out of here, Dan, one of the things sure. I like to do with guests on Road Signs is, you've worn your CFO hat very proudly in this interview, but I often like to ask, my guests to put on their analyst hat as being a thought leader in their segment of the industry. So I ask mm-hmm. of you, Dan, the question of the trends that are going on in third party financial services. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've seen a lot when it comes to third party, as you are a virtual CFO, there's a lot of things that are going on with the role of technology playing in what you're doing for a living and helping fleets, and also the use of the data that's so available to fleets and just kind of sure. having all that particular information and one having paralysis by analysis, not knowing what to do with that information. Exactly. I mean, that's just one of the trends. You might touch upon something else, but are trends like that, is that something that you're seeing in your space? And if not, what are you seeing?
As far as like trends in third-party services, I think that's going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. I think you think about it, and there's no reason for it. Working in this role with the technology, like you said, that we have available to us, you can access talent from all over the country. You don't have to look, hey, I'm in my town. Who's available? My CFO just quit. I don't have anyone. I've got to go within, a 50-mile square radius of my town to see who's out there, and I grab whoever's available. With technology that we have now, and some has actually been working this way for years, they were a leader in the industry in doing this. So we're kind of ahead of the game in a lot of companies, but having that technology to be able to do that and being able to access talent throughout the country, I think is critical. The ability to video conference, cloud software, so we can access software from anywhere, digital images so that we can get access to, images of accounts payable or whatever documents and everything and share them back and forth. Those tools allow us to do the job from anywhere. And then data crunching, Summit, we use a lot of tools to take the client's financials and pretty them up, dumping them into our reporting software and provide them back some key indicators like, return on assets, return on equity, their average days to pay, and to summarize all that stuff for them. So I think the trend in the industry, this is going to continue. I think the virtual CFO market's going to continue and get more competitive. And it's good for industry out there. It's good for them to be able to reach out to talent all over the country You know, I deal with companies all over the country, and you know, I may go see them once a year, you know, just to sit down across the table from them. I think that's valuable, and we're all in favor of that. But 98% of what we can do virtually. So I think that trend's going to continue and get even stronger.
I just kind of wanted to ask about that with the, you know, you're meeting with the clients, you know, you're, you know, as you said, you know, virtual CFO, you know, and you meet with them that maybe periodically, you know, once a year, you said, maybe a few times a year.
We meet with them virtually at least two or three times a month. And we've got an accounting staff. So a lot of times there's two or three of us that work with a client. And I think that's where Summit distinguishes itself a little bit from other firms is we have a whole team that a lot of times was working with a client. So if I'm off on vacation or whatever, the client still has a senior advisor they can reach out to if they've got a question and so forth. So we build a lot of redundancy into our program. So the client has a whole team available to them. And we also collaborate a lot. We meet every Friday, all the CFOs do. And we're constantly bouncing ideas off each other and looking for the best and greatest for our clients to bring best practices to them.
We've been speaking with Dan Rutherford, Virtual Chief Financial Officer and Lead CFO of Transportation and Logistics Industries. Dan, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Appreciate the invite and look forward to future conversations.
Likewise.
If your transportation and logistics operation doesn't have a full-time CFO to guide you through challenging financial decisions, you may be the perfect fit for Summit Virtual CFO by Anders. Find out how by visiting summitcpa.net.
Welcome back to Road Signs. To learn more about third-party efficiency and how it helps fleets, we're going to speak with Michael Preche, CEO of Fleetworthy Solutions. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Michael, what I wanted to talk about, you know, you're in the arena of fleet compliance and helping fleets through audit management and through their help through the compliance process. One of the things in this industry, you know, we have trucking companies that have been around for a long while, for many years and decades. And with these older fleets that are in the logistics industry, you know, they're coping with the new technologies that are coming forth and needing that help to do whatever they need to do, whether it be, you know, audit management in your case, or, you know, back office help or just, you know, technology, in-cab technologies. You know, there's a certain type of resistance that these older fleet owners and managers have in that particular process. So my question to you in that particular space, being a third party vendor and helping these fleets, you know, especially with audit and risk management, you know, how do you help these older fleets in the logistics industry cope with the emergence of new technologies?
So we like to focus on, you know, you kind of hit on it. There's clearly a paradigm that's occurring, especially with some of the companies that have been in the business for a while. And the paradigm that I talk about is the fact that if you look at the technological advancements that are happening inside the cab on a commercial vehicle and how fast it's improving. And then you compare that to the infrastructure of most of these companies' safety departments, there's this uneven equation, right? So you have a truck that's very technologically advanced, almost looks like a plane that's pushing out a lot of data that governmental agencies are using to decide whether you're compliant or not. And then you have a safety department that's still using spreadsheets, you know, AS400s, outdated homegrown solutions, not to mention losing, you know, that native knowledge as their workforce gets older and are retiring and things. So what Fleetworthy tries to do is we've created a platform, you know, that's built on a modern stack, cloud-based, so that we can keep up with the advancements that are happening in the cab, consume that data for these carriers, and then layer on top of that actionable recommendations so that they, you know, can stay on top of being compliant, even if they're maybe lagging technologically.
You know, one of the things you were featured on a previous article in Transport Topics. Be sure everyone to check that out on ttnews.com. And one of the things that you said that you referred to, you touched upon it previously, just sort of the technology that supports compliance and audit management needs to be able to ingest and digest data. And from the experiences that I've seen, there's a lot of paralysis by analysis, all that data, as you said, more like a, sipping through a fire hydrant, So can you elaborate on that, just the ingest and digest? Because there's a lot of data that comes in. How should fleet operators decipher that information that's customary for them?
Yeah, so we, our goal is to, we kind of take a three-legged stool approach when we're working with our customers. I mentioned the technology, but the other leg is, our staff of compliance experts that become an extension of the compliance team at the carrier. And, on the technology side, we just want to give straightforward, we call them, either tasks or work requests, so that as we analyze, their compliance performance, either at the driver level or at the asset level, the technology is giving clear, direction on the things and the steps that they need to take to continue to drive compliance and make sure they're running their business within the regulatory levels that are expected by the FMCSA and the DOT. So we've tried to build this platform, to be kind of an extension of their safety departments, analyzing things 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when the safety professional, logs onto our system, the system's telling them the steps that they need to take to mitigate risk.
One of the things with having a transportation management system and helping carriers stay compliant, how much of hand holding or just basic explanation for your customers when it comes to understanding, for instance, IFTA regulations, how much of that is involved? I know there's a certain amount of training, but is there a sort of balance that you strike when speaking to your customers?
Yeah, we want to make sure that we're doing the heavy analysis of the data and doing the crunching, and then giving them really clear steps. So you mentioned IFTA, so we have a platform that can consume all of the mileage data, the fuel data, all those things that are important. Give the customer, what's their exposure from a cost perspective. Once they understand it and verify that our data is correct, we can actually take that back from them and actually do the filing for them, so that they don't even have to do that step. So we want to offer a full service, a full bag of services, not only technologically, but the services that you wrap around the technology, so that our customers can really focus on the exceptions, the big strategic, problems that they have to fix, and they can rely on us for the day-to-day tactical steps that need to be taken.
So that, the subject matter experts that you have on staff, and the technologies that you provide, that sort of, it's hand in hand in helping those particular customers. In doing that, what are some of the challenges that large fleets face in handling compliance requirements compared to small fleets? How's that? Is that different at all?
Yeah, it's hugely different. First, the footprint, large carriers that have drivers and assets operating in, many, many different states now have to worry about all the intricate changes that happens as you go from one jurisdiction to the next. So the ability to maintain the knowledge of, how do things run in California compared to things in Florida, that's a hard thing for carriers of size to have that subject matter expertise on staff when, their job, whether it's a for-hire fleet, which is to deliver things to, separate locations for customers, or private fleets that, have a large fleet and their, their top line revenues based on the stuff that they sell. They don't necessarily have the ability to invest in day-to-day compliance focus, right? So we fill the gaps with our people, and we augment, the knowledge of our customers with our technology.
That day-to-day compliance, Mike, what does that consist of? Is there one particular concern I want to say not being compliant, but is there one egregious offense that's greater than others?
Well, you know, we kind of simplify it into three things. You know, it's driver compliance, and then asset compliance, and then, you know, fuel compliance, as you mentioned with IFTA. And in each of those different towers, there's a plethora of problems that they're trying to solve while being compliant. You know, on the driver side, we all have heard about driver shortage and you know, the aging driver community, and how do we get younger professionals coming into the workforce interested in driving commercial vehicles. So there's this pressure that you're getting by, I got to go and get my drivers quickly, but you can't forget about doing it in a legal compliant way, right? So it's doing all this, the work of doing, you know, safety performance history checks and background checks and drug and alcohol tests and clearinghouse. I mean, there's so much that needs to be done. And, you know, a lot of times they don't have the staff to focus on all the steps it takes to bring on a commercial driver. So we help fill those gaps.
I like that you had mentioned the driver shortage and, you know, and the whole precipice of getting, getting drivers into the fold and doing that due diligence. And we had this conversation before when we had met at the ATA headquarters earlier this year, where it goes beyond that too, the management, the risk management of it, where, you know, you have that driver that's in that fold, but you also have now the technology that your team has provided to monitor the safety of the driver, the trends of that particular driver. What types of benefits does that have when fleet managers are able to have that particular amount of data and they're able to do something with that? What are some of the things that could be done with that particular piece of data?
One of the clear benefits is, you know, customers that are working with us and take compliance seriously and they want to go beyond the minimum, what they start being able to do is weave all these different KPIs and data points and start creating a profile of what they consider, you know, the perfect driver for them, both culturally and from a safety perspective. And because we're capturing all sorts of data, you know, we're allowing our customers to create a driver scorecard and understanding what are the indicators that this person is a good, you know, fit culturally, from a regulatory perspective, from a safety perspective. And, you know, the more thorough you are about keeping your arms around these things from a compliance perspective, the easier it is to find the right profile to bring them on board and to get them, you know, from an applicant status into the cab quickly.
Speaking about feedback of this, you know, from your customers, when, you know, they're satisfied with your service, they're doing, it's doing the things that they want to do, and it's helping them concentrate on the issues that are prevalent to their operations. Have you, what are some of the things that your customer base is raving about with using your product?
So one was what I just mentioned. You know, although we're not an applicant tracking company, you know, we get a lot of positive feedback about the fact that we compress the time it takes that applicant to get into the cab by 30-40%. And that's a huge benefit for our customers. It, you know, once the driver is in our system and being monitored by us, you know, we're improving their ability to maintain compliance, making sure that driver qualification files are accurate. Not only is their data in their DQ file, but it's accurate data, legible, which leads to their ability to get through FMCSA audits a lot quicker, a lot more cost effectively, without getting fines, you know, or being shut down, right? So those are some of the positive things. And the other one is, you know, the longer you're doing this and the more history that you have that, hey, we are serious about compliance, we follow the regs, you know, you start mitigating the risk of, you know, the dreaded nuclear verdicts that we're seeing over and over again in the industry.
That's one thing I wanted to point out as well too. During our conversation previously during the year, you had talked about just the relationships, you know, between the fleets and also with the regulatory agents provide the audits to your customers. And one of the things that really grabbed me was when you had said just the confidence, and as you know several times in this interview, where you're serious about compliance.
And does having that relationship with the, you know, the government agencies that are working with the fleets, I mean, does that help with your presence in that whole dynamic, you know, just kind of when the audit process comes, you know, they have your service and, you know, the regulatory agent that's working on that is, you know, feels pretty confident. I mean, is that the, sort of the atmosphere, you know, when those audits do come?
Absolutely. You know, so you have to, you know, we've been in business for 40 years and you can imagine we have a very horizontal footprint when it comes to our customer base. And we learn a lot of things from, you know, different size organizations, different industries and things. And we take what we learn from those numerous industries and we bring them to bear to help, you know, our new customers. So absolutely. When an auditor walks in and realizes, oh, you're working with Fleetworthy, you know, they understand that, hey, clearly you take, you know, regulatory compliance seriously. So they have a tendency to dig in less because they're familiar with our platform. You know, we interact with the auditors a lot more than our customers do just because of our footprint, you know, in our customer base. So we learn a lot, you know, and we have a lot more muscle memory when it comes to audits than individual carriers, whether it be private or for hire fleet, because they don't do it as much as we do.
Well, that's a very powerful tool in the niche that you're in, just having that confidence with your customers and the government agencies that they work with, that, you know, these audit processes are going to be smooth, all, you know, as cumbersome as they are. Before I leave you and let you enjoy the nice Madison, Wisconsin, almost summer day that's out there. I'm going to ask you to put your analyst hat on and just basically ask you the question, you know, where do you see the audit management, risk management space that you're in? Where do you see that as a whole, having that 10,000 foot view in the future, be it, you know, the next 5 or 10 years?
So I think what you're going to see as, you know, data sources become more and more prevalent and relevant, whether it be the data that's coming out of the cab or the data that are in all the different dispersed data sources of data, I think you're going to see the government more and more consume this data in an automated fashion. And I think it's going to be important for carriers to stay on top of that and be in front of that curve, leverage technology so that they're seeing the same data that the governmental agencies are seeing and can proactively, you know, make decisions to mitigate any kind of trend in risk, right? So we're trying to make compliance much more of a proactive equation than a reactive equation. And the only way we're going to do that is being able to consume, gather that data, tap into our data lake of being in business for 40 years and give very compelling direction to our customers on proactive steps they can take to maintain compliance and make sure their drivers are getting home safe and the roads become safer and safer every day.
Michael, I have to follow up with you on that. You had mentioned in the beginning automated, and this being a podcast where we cover the trends that are happening, does automated mean artificial intelligence? would that play a role in things?
So, you know, we are dabbling in where does AI, you know, make sense, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes us maintain that the key is a three-legged stool that includes, you know, software, human beings, and understanding of data. You know, until the government says, hey, our audits are going to be done by a computer or artificial intelligence, you know, we feel that, you know, the human aspect of our business is very important, because in the end, even though the government does use a lot of technology, it's a person that knocks on your door, sits down with you, and wants to start analyzing what you guys are doing right or wrong. So I do think machine learning and AI can get you so far, but there's still, you know, a large human aspect when it comes to transportation.
I mean, you said you're dabbling in AI, or just kind of in the experiment phase, or just the researching phase of this when it's coming through the application of your service or.
Yeah. So an example, I mean, we're leveraging technology where it makes sense. You know, I mentioned our platform, you know, what we want to take advantage of is, you know, machines, whether it be AI or machine learning or whatever, the benefit of that is they can, you know, that type of technology can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And we think that, so we're leveraging that when we're analyzing, you know, the science that's in compliance, you know, expiring documents, you know, all the rules around IFTA, hours of service, very straightforward things that have, you know, simple data that you can leverage technology to kind of consume and crunch. But we still think there needs, when you're talking about, you know, onboarding a person who wants to drive for a new company or a new carrier, there's still a human aspect that's always needed, right? There's still the safety performance histories that we're reaching out to you know, prior employers to make sure that driver's a safe driver, right? There's still belly-to-belly things that we're going to need to do. And, you know, that's why, you know, our large staff of client services professionals that have a lot of tenure and industry experience are always going to be a really big part of our company and our value proposition.
In this industry, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, that's for sure. We've been speaking with Mike Prechet, CEO of Fleetworthy. Mr. Prechet, it was a pleasure having you on for your first appearance at Road Science.
I enjoyed it. Everyone have a great day.
If you're looking for strategic financial guidance to take your transportation and logistics operation to the next level, that's what we do at Summit Virtual CFO by Anders. Find out how at summitcpa.net.
Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit our original question. How can third-party services assist growing trucking companies? Where to identify the growing pain points? And how effective can these services be for fleets? First, a big thanks for our guests, Michael Prechet and Dan Rutherford, for coming on to the show. As we heard from them, it's a two-pronged approach when it comes to assisting their clients' needs. Prechet noted, the foundation lies heavily not only on the innovation, but the education of it. It's not enough to have the latest trends. Learning what to do with it is key. Additionally, as Rutherford explained, it is also important to find where the need is, then provide and execute that solution, as he put it, filling in the gap. Giving the client a sufficient roadmap will allow them to succeed in a tight trucking market, and it will also go a long way to obtaining a proper footing in the industry. If you enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. If my questions have sparked questions of your own, share them with the Road Signs team or reach me on Twitter at Michael V. Freeze. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. We'll read them and respond daily. And of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Michael Freeze. Thank you for listening.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.